Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm thrilled to be your host tonight for the second in a series of budget engagement sessions for the City of Mississauga. Joining me this evening are Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 1 Councillor Stephen Dasko, and Ward 2 Councillor Karen Raz, along with members of the City's leadership team. Before we hear more from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a budget engagement session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga, including Wards 1 and 2, are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We'll hear from the mayor and councillor shortly, as they're here with other city staff tonight to talk about the city's 2022 budget. After that, it will be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and staff, and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2022 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing *3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in a line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you have a question about the 2022 city budget, but don't get a chance to ask it during our session tonight, you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will also be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time over the next hour, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you'll be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When you press *3 to ask your question, you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Please make sure your question is about the 2022 budget and priorities for next year. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this budget engagement session with Mayor Crombie, Councillor Dasko, Councillor Raz, and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I would like to invite the mayor and councillors to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the 2022 city budget?
Well, thank you, Jody, and welcome, and thank you to all of you, our residents, for joining us this evening. I first want to recognize the incredible efforts all of you, our residents, have made in helping us navigate the pandemic over the last 18 months. By following public health measures, and of course, by getting vaccinated. More than 80% of eligible residents in Peel, 12 and over, have now received both doses of the vaccine. And this has been so critical in protecting our hospitals and schools and ensuring that we don't see any more blanket closures that devastated our businesses over the last year and a half. If you had told me 2 months ago that case counts would be where they are now, I don't think I would have believed it. That's because in July and August, case counts were rapidly rising, and it looked as though the fourth wave was going to completely overwhelm us. But we have been able to limit the impacts. And the single biggest reason why is because so many of you went out to get the vaccine. The reality is that we still have challenges in front of us, and we're not out of the woods yet. But I want residents to know that we have a strong recovery plan in place to help our city recover and build back to better. Tonight, I'm joining you to share information on the city's business plan and budget and to answer your questions. Despite the challenges of COVID-19, our work never stops to build a more prosperous, sustainable, and forward-thinking city. As we share our priorities for the 2022 budget, you will see that our city is still strong. 2021 forced us to bend, but because we've always been a lean, fiscally responsible city, we didn't break under the pressure that COVID-19 placed on us. At the same time, We realize that money is tight and residents and businesses are struggling to make ends meet. Throughout this pandemic, we have done what we can to support residents and businesses, from deferring property taxes to waiving payment and late fees and temporarily offering free transit to make life easier during those challenging times. This year's budget will be a particularly important one as we continue to work to recover from COVID-19 and build back to better. I want to assure you that we are doing everything in our power to design a budget that is balanced, keeps taxes competitive, keeps services running, and minimizes any impacts to the taxpayer. During our time together this evening, you will learn about the city's 2022 budget priorities and how we are working to ensure that no one will be left behind during our recovery. We understand these are challenging times for everyone. Although some of our focus has had to shift to deal with COVID-19, our priorities for you, our residents, remain the same: delivering the right programs and services, demonstrating value for taxpayers' dollars, maintaining our infrastructure in a state of good repair, maintaining our current service levels with no material increases to service levels in 2022, and of course, our COVID-19 recovery plans. Over the last year and a half, through thoughtful conversations and consultations, we've had the opportunity to hear from many of our residents and business owners. We understand that COVID recovery, especially as it pertains to our budget management, means something different to everyone. We have captured those thoughts and ideas from our previous budget engagements, and we're looking forward to sharing more about this process and, most importantly, continuing our conversation with you. Although recovery will be our primary focus in 2022, as a young city that is growing up fast, we have other important priorities as well. This includes continuing to build a global city for creativity and innovation with vibrant, safe, and connected communities. City projects that are currently underway to help us achieve this goal include the Huron-Ontario LRT, the light rail project, which will bring fast and reliable rapid transit to the cities of Mississauga and Brampton along the Huron-Ontario corridor. Shovels are in the ground already and work is steadily progressing. Also, improvements to the Lakeshore Transportation Corridor, including the Lakeshore Bus Rapid Transit System, a 2-kilometer stretch that will run from the Etobicoke Creek to East Avenue. We're also evaluating options to improve the experience for people traveling along Lakeshore Road and Royal Windsor Drive from East Avenue to the Oakville border. We also have a strategy to transform downtown Mississauga into a vibrant, urban, complete community, a place to live, work, learn, be entertained, raise a family, and most of all, a place to choose to be. It's also important for us to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure that Mississauga continues to be a great city with a high quality of life that residents enjoy today. We understand the importance of appreciating the unique characteristics of our city's well over 20 villages and communities. In Ward 1, we have Port Credit, Lakeview, Mineola, Orchard Heights, and Applewood Acres. In Ward 2, Clarkson, Lauren Park, Sheridan, and Park Royal. And these are more than just dots on a map. These are complete and thriving communities where residents and visitors can go to shop, dine on the waterfront, or go for a walk to explore our beautiful trails and neighborhoods. As we continue our recovery, I have no doubt that communities like Port Credit and Clarkson will come back stronger than ever before, drawing people from across the GTA and beyond to our beautiful waterfront. Each community has a character charm and that undeniable green factor that all cities crave. I understand the need to keep the neighborhoods of Wards 1 and 2 safe, protected, and thriving. And this is why understanding how the city builds and determines its budget is critical. The budget process is transparent and democratic. As residents, you have a say in how we develop it, either through your elected representatives or by getting directly involved in the budget process. That's why we encourage you to stay connected and engaged in the process. We want to hear from you. Your ward counselors are here this evening to answer your questions. From Ward 1, we have Counselor Stephen Dasko, and from Ward 2, Counselor Karen Rass, and you'll be hearing from them very shortly. The city's leadership team are also here to answer your questions. Paul Mitchum, who is our city manager and chief administrative officer. Sherry Lichterman, Commissioner of Corporate Services and Chief Financial Officer. Jody Robios, our Acting Commissioner of Community Services. Jeff Wright, Commissioner of Transportation and Works. Jeff Jackson, our Director of Finance and Treasury. Bonnie Brown, our Director of Economic Development Office. And Jason Bevan, our Director of Planning Strategies. Before I turn things over to our moderator, I'd like to invite Councillors Dasko and Rass to offer some opening remarks. And I'll just throw it over to them right now. So thank you. Thank you, both of you. So, Councillor Dasko, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and welcome everybody this evening. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us tonight. It's a definite challenging time for all of us right across when it comes to budget. And this is a year like no other in terms of showing resilience. And not only that, but it's one that at all times, keeping an eye on every dollar, and this is certainly no exception as we go through another COVID year of budget. Looking at getting value for money for all, and really, you know, this is an opportunity that looking forward to having input and also questions from all of you. So as we continue to keep an eye on the budget and reinvest and invest in our communities to help city build, thank you for joining us tonight, and I turn it over now to Councillor Rass.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dasko, and thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to everybody who's listening tonight. It's really important to get involved in your city process, budgeting process. One of the things that you can do is look at the city's budgeting allocator tool. We have service area presentations coming up in November. I encourage you to find out where your city is spending the money and how you can provide input. You can always email me directly at karen.raz@mississauga.ca. If you would like to provide further input. So happy to listen to the discussion tonight, and hopefully we will come forward with a budget that everybody can be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I'm pleased to be here with Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 1 Councillor Stephen Dasko, Ward 2 Councillor Karen Rass, and staff from the city to talk about the 2022 budget. Just a reminder, you can press star 3 on your phone at any time to get in the queue to ask a question. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2022. In a short while, we will take your live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this budget engagement session to do quick polls. Let's do one together now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds with your answer. Please listen to all of the answers before you make your selection. Here's my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. And for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. Again, the question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. Roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. Recreation programs, press 4, and for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up in a few minutes. A reminder to callers that you can get into the queue to ask a question of the mayor or either of the councillors here this evening by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. Participants who are joining us online can type your question into the comments field, and it will be read aloud for you. Let's go to our first question of the night. The question came to us online, and it is as follows, Madam Mayor. How is the city managing the deficit from the pandemic?
Thank you, Jody. I'll kick this off, and then I'll pass it on to our city manager, Paul Mitchum, to respond. But let me say to all the residents on the line tonight that Mississauga is strong. We are extremely fiscally responsible. And cities, unlike other levels of government, are not able to run a deficit. We're the only level of government that is not able to run a deficit. So during COVID, we had some challenging times. We were facing a $100 million deficit at one point, and we implemented some mitigating measures that helped us eliminate $40 million of that. And by that, we had to implement a hiring freeze. We stopped all discretionary spending. We had to close down our recreation cultural facilities. We had to lay off 2,500 workers, very sadly so, because we were the only level of government, once again, to have to lay off any employees. And then we had to defer some of our capital projects. At the end of the day, the provincial and federal restart program allowed us some additional funding for our operational deficit. We received $31 million for our transit deficit and $15 million for our operational deficit, and we were able to mitigate the balance. The same will be true of 2022. We're very hopeful that with the deficit that exists, we will once again receive some restart funding and that we can minimize any tax increase that we have to implement. Last year, the tax increase was 1% at the city and another 1.1% at the region. So the increase was only 2.1% to our taxpayers. And we're very, very proud of that. As I said, we are very fiscally responsible and we're not able to run a deficit. So we do have to appeal to other levels of government in times of dire need and crisis, like a COVID pandemic, where there are also many additional costs we hadn't anticipated, running free transit and also having to purchase PPE for all our employees as well, and closing all our facilities. So, Paul, maybe you can add to that on how we managed to eliminate the deficit and whether or not we're having a balanced budget. Paul, over to you.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie, and good evening, everyone. As Councillor Dasko had said, we're really in uncharted territory, if you will, with the pandemic over the last 18 months. For 2021, we're looking at a deficit somewhere in the order of $65 million for COVID, up $10 million from 2020. And the deficit is driven primarily through revenue losses. Transit ridership, for example, dipped to a low of somewhere in the order of 40, just a little higher than 40%, 45% of 2019 levels. Recreation centers closed, so no revenue there. Recreation programs canceled. Courts closed, and as a result, no revenue from the normal POA charges and so on. So well over $100 million in revenue loss for 2021. And during this period, we've really worked hard to maintain frontline services, at the same time protect public and employees from COVID, all the while working to control or reduce costs. Mayor Crombie gave you a kind of a short list of the measures taken. I mean, she referred to the temporary layoff of staff, delayed hiring for vacancies, cutting back on capital spending, curtailing discretionary spending. But in addition, accelerating cost reduction has really been important to us and holding the line on new employees. All of these measures over 2021 will drive something in the order of $40 million in mitigating measures. The net deficit then will close with safe restart funding from the province. So thanks so much to the province for safe restart funding. With that, I think I'm going to turn it back to the moderator. Over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. A reminder to our listeners tonight that we'd love to hear from you and hear your questions live on the phone. You can ask them of the mayor and councillors this evening. Press star 3 on your phone keypad and you'll be put into a queue where you can ask your question. Alternatively, if you prefer that I ask your question for you, let the operator know and they'll take a note and we can ask your question live on your behalf. Those of you who are joining us online, you can type your questions into the comments field and those will be brought up in the queue as well. And the next question has come to us online. It's from a resident of Ward 1. And the resident is asking, what information can you share about the pedestrian cycling bridge across the credit?
Let's send that one right over to Councillor Stephen Dasko. Stephen?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd be happy to answer that. This is what is extremely exciting. It's one of my top priorities. We've had a lot of conversation about this in the community, and I'm really excited to let everybody know that the first phase is already underway. Started off in budget year 2021. It was approved in 2020, and then in through to 2021. We've got the environmental assessment study ongoing right now. So that has begun, and then part of that is actually going through the Lakeshore Connecting Communities component. But it's well on its way right now. I'm happy to report, and looking forward to it continuing on its right path. So an exciting project, and like to say that yes, the momentum is certainly in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Councillor. A reminder to our listeners this evening, please dial *3 on your phone keypad if you would like to ask a question live of either councillors or the mayor this evening. Ask your questions about the 2022 budget and priorities for the city. Our next question came to us online. It's from a resident in Ward 2, and they ask, what traffic calming measures is the city putting in place?
Thank you for the question, and thank you, Jody. In Ward 2, we've been undertaking a number of traffic calming initiatives. The latest one that was approved is going to be along Queen Street West. That started pre-pandemic when we had community meetings, when we were allowed to meet in person, and that's finally coming to fruition, hopefully this fall or early next spring. There's also public consultation currently underway for Meadowood Road and Orr Road. And in the fall, we will also be looking at traffic calming improvements in the Park Royal area, in addition to some upgrades to the existing traffic calming measures in place in Sheridan Homeland. So there's a lot coming. The number one issue I hear about is traffic, and this is certainly an in-demand infrastructure project. So thank you for that, and back over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Councillor. And thank you to everyone who's joining us this evening for this budget engagement session. We're welcoming your questions online or live through the telephone. You can dial *3 on your phone keypad. You'll get to talk to an operator, and they'll put you through so that you can ask your question live of our panel this evening. The next question we have came to us online. Fatloom asks, when will the budget be balanced again, Madam Mayor?
Oh, that is a great question. And Fatloom, I hope you heard me say earlier, we took whatever mitigating measures we could and put them in place to ensure that we reduced the operating deficit that had existed for 2021. And we're looking at doing the same in 2022. The important thing to remember is that municipalities are not permitted by regulation to run deficits. And so we always balance our budgets. Whatever we collect is all that we can spend. But there was, of course, some additional expenditures such as PPE, etc. And we have turned to the provincial and federal governments for assistance with our operating deficits. So I will add that our budgets are always fiscally responsible, and by that I mean that we always put money away for our interest and infrastructure levy, our public fire safety program, so that we continue to build fire stations, and for normal operations as well. So there are always plus, you'll have to understand that the bulk of our costs, about 60% of our costs, are labor-related. So we have union contracts that do escalate, sometimes 1.5%, 1.75% each year. So We do have increases each year, but we balance that and we look for lean operations to save money and other initiatives that we can mitigate any increased costs. As I said, last year, the budget increase at the city was 1%, another 1.1% at the region for a total of 2.1. And this year, it will likely be in that neighborhood. We haven't passed our budget. That happens in December after your input. But, you know, we're looking at similar numbers, about 1.5% on the city's portion, and that may be brought down even lower. Now, why don't I ask our commissioner, Sherry Lichterman, who is also our CFO, and she's our commissioner of corporate services, to comment on balanced budgets as well. Sherry, over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Mayor Crombie. I would just add to what you said to say, as it relates to the deficit that we've incurred as a result of COVID impacts, we certainly appreciate the funding we've received from the province and the federal government for the Safe Restart funding, and we do expect that we will see impacts in 2022 as a result of COVID. And so our transit revenues will continue to slowly recover, but still be a significant impact on our budget. And even as we look to the future, we expect that there will be some echo impacts from our payment in lieu of taxes from the Pearson Airport. And so we are going to have to be managing those impacts going forward. We do appreciate the funding from other levels of government that helps us to balance the budget without having to pass that on to the taxpayer during this very exceptional time of COVID. So we'll continue to plan responsibly and balance the budget every year and try to minimize the impact to the taxpayer. Back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, and thank you to our listeners who are participating tonight and those of you who are queuing to ask live questions of our panelists this evening, Mayor Crombie, councillors from Wards 1 and 2 who are with us. Please dial star 3 on your keypad, on your phone keypad, and you'll get to get into the queue. Our next question is from Larry. Larry submitted his question online, and he asks, are you going to stop purchasing fossil fuel equipment and switch to only electric equipment? Madam Mayor.
Yes, well, we take climate change very seriously. We did implement declare it a climate change emergency and joined the International Government Global Covenant of Mayors as well. So we take it very, very seriously. In 2020, the city approved a green fleet and equipment policy which prioritizes the purchase of electric fleet vehicles and equipment. Of course, MyWay hybrid buses, the city's committed as well to purchase only second generation hybrid buses as of 2020, and we've already purchased 41 second generation hybrid buses, representing 8% of our fleet. Electric lawn equipment as well. We debuted our all-electric gas cutting equipment just this year. So there are quite a number of initiatives. Of course, we would like to target zero emissions, but our goal is 80% by 2050. And I'm going to also pass this on to our Acting Commissioner of Community Services, Jody Robius, for if you could also supplement any information on our switch over to more climate-friendly equipment. Jody?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And just to add to your comments, as equipment is coming to the end of life cycle, that's when we're really looking to replace it with more efficient equipment. And with that, we're also investing in the infrastructure required to charge that equipment. And we do have the very first fully electric grass crew in the city of Mississauga that you'll see in our parks areas. We're very proud of that. And we will be expanding that to include more rechargeable electric or battery-powered equipment. Thank you, and back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. Participants are queuing tonight by pressing star 3 on their phone keypads to get in line and ask questions of City of Mississauga staff, Mayor Crombie, Councillors Dasko and Raz, who are here with us this evening. Please press star 3 on your phone keypad so that you will have a chance to ask your question live. Our next question is live, in fact, from Joyce. Joyce is on the line, and she's got a question about bus service. Go ahead, Joyce.
Good evening. Thank you for all you're doing in this very difficult time. I have a question regarding, we met one time and they were talking about running a bus straight up Dixie Road all the way up to Burnhamthorpe. I've heard nothing more about it. I live on Dixie, and if you can't drive, you've got no transportation.
Joyce, that's an excellent question. We do have our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, on the phone with us, and he'd be happy to address it directly with you. Jeff?
And Madam Mayor, if you don't mind, it's Stephen here. I don't mind mentioning as well that I have done a fair bit of work on this as well with My Way, and certainly, especially for folks that are in the 1400 Dixie area, that's one that I've certainly done a lot of work on. And My Way is looking towards having a bus service of sorts. Again, the commissioner can speak more to it. But one thing that's getting in the way of that right now is the ongoing work on the Dixie overpass right now. But commissioner, please, I'll pass it on to you.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor. It's Jeff Wright here with Transportation and Work. So thanks, Joyce, for your question around service on Dixie. And yes, Councillor Dasko is correct. We've been working with the Councillor's office very recently in terms of looking at service options for Dixie. I know he's been engaged quite specifically on this issue. And yes, the Councillor is right. We are looking at potentially introducing some service in that section of Dixie. And you're obviously living on Dixie, so you're familiar with the lack of service really south of the Dixie Outlet Mall down to Lakeshore Road. And so we're looking at potentially introducing some service in the next little while. But the Councillor is also right around the work that the Ministry of Transportation is doing around the realignment of the Dixie Road interchange. So what we're looking to do, Joyce, is to look at timing a potential route once we have a better understanding of the timing of the Dixie Road improvements, when we can see the end of that in sight, and then we will look to make some potential changes along Dixie. One thing that we would like to look at, though, is how to balance our, you know, our service across the network in terms of potential ridership and our overall recovery. But we do want to make sure that we're providing adequate coverage for people like yourself who choose to take My Way. So it's a great question, and back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. A reminder to listeners tonight, press *3 on your phone keypad, and you can queue to ask a live question of our panel this evening on the topic of the City of Mississauga's 2022 budget. Those of you who are listening to us online, you can use the comments field and submit a question that way, and we'll ask it live for you. Our next caller is Megan. Megan's on the phone with us and has a question about moths. Megan, go ahead.
Hi. Gypsy moths made our outdoor spaces absolutely unlivable this past spring in Mineola West, where I live in Ward 1. I'm wondering if there's an aerial BTK spray in the budget for this spring, or we should be, again, planning to spend thousands of our own dollars on this matter.
Megan, it's a great question, and Councillor Rass has done a lot of, well, Councillor Dasko as well, both have done a lot of work on this issue for the rest of our city. Of course, most of the density with beautiful tree canopy is in the south of the city, and you're quite right. We will be going forward this year, and we didn't anticipate the type of gypsy moths that we received in this year, so we missed it. But Councillor Rass, why don't you speak to your motion and what we'll be doing going forward.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Megan, for the question. And I know Councillor Dasko, him and I have been working very closely on how we can address the gypsy moth issue in our treed areas. It's not just wards 1 and 2. There's certain pockets all over the city that have had devastating effects, especially this past year. I moved a motion earlier in the spring to make sure that there is funding available in the budget for an aerial spray in 2022. We will have a report coming to Council in November with a recommendation that will suggest aerial spraying, and there will be a budget ask, and I'm hoping to get full support from my council colleagues on that. So there's lots that we can do as individuals, but sometimes with our massive trees, they're just too much, and when the whole neighborhoods are affected, that's when the city needs to step in and assist with the aerial spraying. So I don't know if Councillor Dasko, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Raz. I would like to say, Megan, 100% in agreement and support with Councillor Raz. And I couldn't agree more. It's something that absolutely has to be addressed. I think it's imperative that it's budgeted and it's looked after for everybody that's been affected, because I do know very well exactly what that has meant to the communities and just the horrific effects that it's had. So absolutely committed to having funding putting into getting it sprayed for this coming year.
And if I can just jump in and say, there's no reason that our fellow council colleagues won't support your motions and your efforts to date. I know they have issues in wards 6, 7, and 8 as well. So I'm sure you'll see full council support for the spraying, Megan. Back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. We're taking your questions tonight on the City of Mississauga's 2022 budget. You can ask a question of the Mayor or Councillors Dasko and Raz, who have joined us this evening, by pressing *3 on your phone keypad. If you're listening online, you can type your question into the comments field. We received an online question from a resident of Ward 2, and the question is as follows. You stated that residents are struggling, yet you are raising taxes. How do you justify that? How does that make sense?
It's a great question. I'm going to answer it a little bit, then ask our Commissioner Sherry Lichterman too as well. So, of course, the city has minimum commitments each and every year. We do want to continue to invest in our city and make the kinds of contributions to protect us fiscally. We continue to put 2% aside each year for debt repayment and to pay down our infrastructure deficit. Of course, we have a public safety fire program. We need to put money away to continue to ensure that our residents are safe and protected and that we continue to build new fire stations. And then there's just normal assessment growth that occurs. Finally, as well, we have commitments to our employees because many of them are under union contracts, and so their increases are typically in the range of 1.75% or 2%. So those are the fundamental basic increases each year before we even invest in continuing to build a great city, a 21st century city, a state-of-the-art city where people want to live, to work, and invest. So we try to make very fiscally sound decisions that don't impact our taxpayers greatly. I mentioned earlier our increase last year on the tax budget was 1%, and the region was also 1.1%, so it was a 2.1% increase to the taxpayer, impact to the taxpayer. This year we haven't voted on that yet. We'll be discussing it. But right now the target is 1.5% on the city's portion, but we were going to try and bring that down. So Sherry Lichterman, I wonder if you might want to comment on that as well.
Sure. Thanks, Mayor Crombie. Certainly, yes, most of our tax increases really go towards paying for capital construction and maintaining our infrastructure, which of course we need to do even during COVID. Of course, during COVID, we're very aware that our residents are struggling and have worked very hard to keep the tax increases to a minimum. But really, as a municipality, we are quite restricted in the ways that we can raise revenue, and property taxes is our primary method of generating revenue to cover our costs and our capital budget. So we continue to advocate to other levels of government to assist us with other revenue tools, and we'll certainly keep doing that so that we can minimize the burden to the taxpayer going forward. Hope that helps. Back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. We're taking questions tonight on the City of Mississauga's 2022 budget, reading questions aloud that have been submitted by listeners online, and welcoming live calls as well to ask questions of the Mayor, City Staff, Councillors Dasko and Raz, who are here with us this evening. Our next question came to us online. It was submitted by a Ward 2 resident, and they ask, what are you doing to develop affordable housing and reduce high-density buildings? Madam Mayor.
So I'll kick that off, sure, and then I might pass it on to Jason Bevan, who is works directly in as the Director of City Planning Strategies. But please, to our resident, understand that we want people to live and work in our community, and we know that the price of housing is unaffordable for middle-class income earners, and the price of the average family home in Mississauga is well over $800,000 now, and that's a 16% increase even from 2019. We also know that we have had high vacancy rates in the past 10 years, and that we know that 30% of households are spending more than 30% of their income on housing. So our goal is that all new large developments provide some affordable ownership and affordable rental options for middle-income earners. These are people who are earning $80,000 to $100,000 per year per household. We're aiming that 10% of new builds, our home builds, are in the $400,000 range, and that rental accommodations are in the $1,500 range. And middle-income earners, I apologize, we estimate them to be $60,000 to $100,000. And we have a report. In fact, we're the only city in Canada that has a report calling Making Room for the Middle that has 40 very strategic recommendations looking for to incentivize developers and working with other levels of government to make it all possible. And Jason, I'm sure there's more that can be said, and I'll pass it on to you to fill in the blanks. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Mayor Crombie described, our housing strategy really has three pillars. The first one is to retain units. So Council passed a rental protection bylaw several years ago that prevents developers from demolishing affordable rental units unless they're replaced with units of a similar rent level. Secondly, we're requiring developers show how they're addressing affordable housing in their new developments. So a big pillar of that's going to be implementing inclusionary zoning, which is prevalent in a lot of U.S. cities, and it's fairly new to Ontario. And once the province approves the regional official plan next year, we plan to have inclusionary zoning present in all our transit station areas. Thirdly, we're part of a multi-pronged approach with other orders of government to encourage new affordable units. To highlight some examples of that, the region has a basement renovation program to encourage the creation of second units in existing dwellings across the region. And also, City Council has approved second units citywide for basement apartments, as they're often one of the more affordable mechanisms to get housing in the city. Finally, I'd like to highlight incentives. Packages that we've worked with the region and other governments on. This includes the development in the City Center Drive recently with 174 units. And closer to the south of the city, the region is currently undertaking a project at East Avenue that City Council recently approved the building development application in that case, and also as part of the Brightwater development, approximately 150 units in Ward 1 as part of that development. So that just provides a sample of all of what we're doing at a staff level to make housing more affordable for our middle-income residents. Thank you very much for the question.
Thank you very much. Our next question was submitted online by MK, and MK asks, will Mississauga be getting more bike lanes? Madam Mayor.
It's a great question, and of course, active transportation is one of our key pillars, and we're always trying to add to our multi-use trails, our cycling paths, and our bike lanes, and we're receiving some federal funding to do so. So I'd like to have our Commissioner Jeff Wright speak to the growth of our bike lanes in Mississauga, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So great question around cycling in Mississauga, and the short answer is yes, we are expanding the cycling network in Mississauga, and that's through and guidance from our cycling master plan. So the cycling master plan was an update to the original cycling master plan, and the update was approved in 2018, and in that update it outlined really the cycling network that we're looking to accomplish, which will result in about 900 kilometers of infrastructure to be built over, it's not going to happen overnight, but every year we budget a cycling amount, and that we look to develop priority implementation based on that plan. So the cycling master plan does talk about cycle tracks that are being constructed, and these are physically separated from the road, and then we have bicycle lanes separated by things like flexible bollards. We have bicycle on-street bicycle lanes as well. We have multi-use trails, and we also have shared routes. So there's a number of different aspects of our cycling master plan and the implementation. But yes, we are making progress on that plan, and that progress is tracked and managed through on an annual basis through the Mississauga Cycling Advisory Committee. So that's another reference for information on cycling projects in Mississauga. Back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. A reminder that you can ask questions of Mayor Crombie, Councillors Dasko and Raz, who are with us this evening, on Mississauga's 2022 budget by pressing *3 on your phone keypad, and you'll be able to ask your questions live. We're also taking questions online. The next question came to us from a resident of Ward 1, and they asked, what is happening with the Port Credit Library? What are the financial implications?
Councillor Dasko, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to first off say thanks again for the question. It's very much top of mind, I think, for everybody in the community and also at the city. Of all the reports that have come in, this is one that that was certainly a devastating one. And the fact that the library in its current state is unstable and not being able to continue as it is right now. My commitment to everybody in the community is that we would look at every opportunity and every alternative to what it would take to get keep our library in Port Credit, knowing that we've got a library in Clarkson and a library in Lakeview. That leaves a huge void in Port Credit. So working with city staff to go through all the alternatives right now. And once we have a clear path forward in terms of some good information to share, my full intention, as I've committed to everybody, is we'll have a community meeting. And we'll have all of the alternatives put out there, and we'll get the feedback, answer all questions, and move forward. But my full commitment and the city's commitment is there with regards to keeping a library in Port Credit. It's very important. It's a huge part of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We're taking questions submitted online and posed live this evening on the city's 2022 budget. Joanna is on the line next, and Joanna has a question about transportation in Mississauga. Go ahead, Joanna. Hi, Joanna, are you there with your question?
Oh, yeah. I am an old-timer resident here in Mississauga. When the railroad track, there were no homes built there at all, and a roadway east-west would have been ideal beside the railroad tracks. Now, people are getting permits to build houses there, and there is that chance of people to be able to drive east-west from Etobicoke to Oakville is gone. I wonder why that could not be restored so that you had a clear roadway from Etobicoke to Oakville right along the railroad tracks. It would not interfere with anybody.
It's a great question. Thank you. And we do have some east-west routes. We have our transitway, which is our bus rapid transit along the 403 parallel. We're a proposed bus rapid transit system along Dundas Street. Dundas Street, yes, from the Kipling subway all the way to almost the Oakville border. Anecdotally, people are coming from Kipling in Toronto, but this is why we ended up building the LRT, because the most traveled route is north-south. We have estimating 33 million people will ride on the LRT each year. And of course, with respect to east-west, there's also the Gardiner Expressway, the QEW, that goes right through Etobicoke, Mississauga, and into Oakville and beyond. But Jeff Wright, why don't you speak to the need for road transportation networks east and west?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So you've mentioned a number of projects that the city is working on, both independently, but also with our stakeholders within the GTA. So I think, Joanna, your question was really looking at what is the opportunity and perhaps looking at building additional road capacity east-west across Mississauga. And so I'll reflect on a recent study that we've done in Ward 1 and Ward 2 called the Lakeshore Connecting Communities Transportation Plan. And this really looked at growth along the Lakeshore Corridor, both along the waterfront and other developments in Mississauga, and looked at how that growth would be managed from a transportation perspective. And through that study, we looked at different opportunities for investments and improvements to the transit network, both along the Lakeshore Corridor, but also reflecting to the improvements that GO Transit will ultimately be putting along the Lakeshore line in Mississauga. So a lot of growth will be managed through transit. We're also looking at active transportation across that corridor. And if you recall earlier this evening, we talked about the active transportation bridge that's being designed for construction across the Credit River. And that will provide some additional east-west capacity for active transportation for people that are walking and cycling. And then last but not least, obviously, is our traffic management program. And through our advanced transportation management system, we are looking at maximizing the capacity of our existing road network through signalization and things that we can do to help with progression for vehicle movement, but also looking at ways that we can provide some additional capacity through that, through some of our existing channels. So it's really looking at all the various modes and trying to select the right approach to ensure that we continue to build a city, a livable city in Mississauga, and I think we're going to be achieving that. So I hope that addresses your questions, and back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. Our next question came to us online, and it asks, what are you doing about the increasing coyote population in Mississauga? Madam Mayor.
Yeah, no, this is a great question. But listen, I know that Councillors Rass and Dasko have done a lot of work on this issue and held town halls in their wards. So I'm going to ask them to respond. And if they like, they can send it over to our Commissioner Jeff Wright as well. Over to you, Councillor Rass, and then Dasko.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Thank you for the question. I think our urban wildlife, not just coyotes, is becoming increasingly apparent. So, for example, in Ward 2, we have not only coyotes, but we have foxes, we have deer, we have turkeys. And as long as there are food sources for all of those animals, then they're going to stay. And it's also unfortunate when there's a negative human interaction. So whether it's people feeding them or trying to take selfies with them, or people, if they're near coyotes, they may have their dogs off leash. We need to do a better job of educating residents on how we can coexist with coyotes. It's not a matter of us displacing them or moving them. That's just not feasible. We do know from past history through the Ministry of Natural Resources, when you remove coyotes from their habitat, as long as there's a food source, there are going to be other ones that fill that void. So we need to make sure that we are having proper interactions with them. We're not feeding the wildlife. And you need to know what to do when you encounter a coyote, whether that's making loud noises, carrying a simple thing like a folded up garbage bag, and then when you, a big black garbage bag, and then when you encounter one, you can just air it out and make lots of noise, and it makes you appear bigger as well. So I guess we're also going to be hosting a coyote and wildlife information session coming up. Councillor Dasko and I are going to have a joint session, and I believe that's coming up in November. I don't think we've exactly set a date, so stay tuned for more information on that as well. Over to you, Councillor Dasko, if you want to add anything.
Thanks, Councillor Rass. And yeah, I just wanted to say it is a significant issue that that we have been working with. Pre-pandemic, we were able to do a town hall over at Clark Hall, and also have done some work in some of the with some of the ratepayer associations in terms of getting some word out. There are a few things that we've been doing through the ward office to assist, but Councillor Rass is absolutely right. there is a call that is getting organized right now. November is the general timeline, I believe early November, and we're just trying to lock down a date right now. And as soon as we do, I know between Wards 1 and Wards 2, we will try to blast it out and get out the word as best as we can to get that out there. But a significant part of this is food sources, and there have been some people, especially where some of the coyotes have been a little bit more aggressive, and that is tracked to people leaving food at the end of their driveways and things like this, thinking that these poor coyotes need food and things like that. They certainly don't. They will find a food source. They're pretty resilient, and as well, in terms of the territory.
Thank you, Councillor. Why don't we go back to you, Jody? I'm going to try and
take you away for about, finish off if it's okay, for about a kilometre, and that doesn't help us a lot. So just the long and short of it is that there's more information to come. And again, if you want any more information, please contact our offices. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Our next question was submitted online by Robert. Robert asks, Ottawa LRT has had many issues. Here Ontario LRT is to use the same technology. What's being done to ensure it doesn't experience the same issues? Madam Mayor.
No, we're going to go right to our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, to respond to this. He's got all the technical answers. Jeff?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. So great question, Robert, in terms of your question about what's happening in Ottawa with their LRT line. So you are correct that Mississauga, through the project deliverer Metrolinx, it will be using the same sort of LRT vehicles that Ottawa is using, the Alstom LRT vehicle. Ottawa is using the first generation of these vehicles in Canada. So I would like to think that they're working the bugs out with these vehicles now in Ottawa. And you're seeing that play out right now. They had a lot of issues during the startup phase of their LRT with the terms of vehicle performance. And then most recently, they've had two derailments in Ottawa with their LRT vehicles. So we're watching that very closely. We're also working with Metrolinx, who will be buying these vehicles for the Here-Ontario corridor. And so the first generation is in Ottawa. The second generation of these vehicles will be utilized by Metrolinx on the Finch West LRT. And so that's another opportunity for us to observe and see how these vehicles get put into service. And then the third generation, which will be the vehicles that will be supplied for the Here-Ontario LRT corridor. So from my perspective, we have two generations of vehicles that will be in service. We'll be able to observe, talk to Metrolinx, who's buying the vehicles, talk to the agencies that are operating these vehicles to ensure that by the time these vehicles are launched at the end of 2024 in Mississauga, that they will be up and running appropriately and hopefully have no issues with their service operations. So that's how we're sort of tracking the issues in Ottawa and how we see it playing out over the next couple of years leading up to service launch in Mississauga. Back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. We're coming to the end of our time together this evening, and there have been so many great questions and robust conversation tonight. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's budget engagement session?
Yes, certainly I do, and I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight and the very thoughtful questions and discussion. I know there was a couple more that we weren't able to get to, and I do encourage you to email in to the city or reach out to your local councillor's office, to Councillor Dasko, Councillor Rass. If anything, this last year and a half has taught us, it's that we need to come together as a city and as a province and as a country, and then we can overcome any of the challenges before us. So before we ring in our 2022 budget, we still have a lot of work to do, as I indicated, and my fellow members of council, the leadership team, and all of the city staff are committed to remaining strong, focused, and determined to make the remainder of this year and 2022 a resounding success. And there are many ways that you can continue to stay informed in the budget process. You will find a wealth of information on our website at mississauga.ca/budget. And if you have a question or comment about the budget, we welcome your emails at budget@mississauga.ca. Very easy. We also encourage you to keep up to date on the budget discussions by following the city on Facebook or on Twitter. And finally, you can watch upcoming budget committee meetings, which are live streamed on our website at mississauga.ca, and they're archived for your future viewing. We had a meeting today, this morning actually. So again, thank you for taking the time to join our budget engagement session. Have a lovely evening and good night. On behalf of myself, on behalf of Councillor Dasko and Councillor Rass, all our leadership team and our staff, thank you for joining us. Good night.